come and go. I know life takes you on many journeys through life, so that's good. Thanks for sharing that. And that was a very appropriate song for our message today, because it talked about lead us not into temptation. And the message today is turning trials into triumphs. And this is a series I've been preaching on, and goes along with what we're studying on Wednesday evenings as well, about Satan and his tactics. And he's like a roaring lion running to and fro to see who he can devour or mislead. So in our text today, it's from James chapter 1, 12 through 15. So to give us an introduction of what we're going to be hearing today is Satan is looking to pounce on our weakness. Weaknesses are the weak areas in our life. And, of course, he went after Jesus himself, but Jesus didn't have any weaknesses. And Jesus used scriptures to Satan, and Satan left. But it says also that he would come back in a more opportune time. So when we leave an opening by yielding to temptation, he takes advantage of that. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, Paul says, and he warned the Ephesian church, do not give the devil a foothold. That means don't leave the door open. Just don't leave it cracked, because Satan will work his foot in there, and finally he'll get all the way in. And that's why Paul says, do not let it get its foot in the door. Now, the devil is always trying to gain foothold in our lives. If you haven't experienced that in your life, you will at some point in time. And he begins the initial attacks, the temptation to sin. So when we think about sin, how it's defined, it's enticement, allurement, and being put to the test. And, you know, our faith can kick in there and help us against that if we will hold strong and persevere through all those testings in our life. So it's important for us to understand the issue of temptation so that we can move readily, identify it when it starts creeping into our lives. And sometimes it takes you by surprise if we're not alert, like Paul says. So we can overcome it. And yes, we can overcome temptation. And the reason why we must overcome temptation is that we can refrain from committing sin. You know, sin itself is not, temptation itself is not a sin, but it's when we yield to it and allow Satan to get that foothold in our lives, and then he leads us down the wrong path. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle John had something to say about it, because he, little children, referring to Christians or believers, says, these things I have written to you so that you may not sin. Means I'm giving you instructions from the Word of God, from God himself, who inspired the Word, to not to sin, because it will lead you to destruction. Now, and that is the reason why I'm sharing this message today. So that we are going to learn how to avoid temptation and refrain from sinning and turn our trials into triumphs. Okay, first of all, God keeps track of temptation. And that's in chapter 1, verse 12. But before I read that verse, I want to read Proverbs 15:3, and in chapter 5 of Proverbs, also verse 21 says, "The eyes of the Lord are every place." And we know that, right? And the scripture lets us know that as well. Keeping watch on the evil and the good. He sees everything. Everything that we do. Everything that we think. And whether we are experiencing some initial, what I would call temptation, or committing a full-fledged sin, the Lord sees our every move. He knows every thought. And James alluded to it here. To keep track, he keeps track of our temptation. So I want to go ahead and read James chapter 1, our main scripture, verse 12, which says, "Blessed." Now, I like the way that James uses that word, "blessed is a man who perseveres under trials." That means he's keeping his eyes focused on the Lord. He perseveres, knowing that the hardships and the sufferings and the trials will have a tendency to weigh on you and pull you down, but you're to persevere. You push through it, and you're keeping your faith, and you know what's good and what God will help you through that. So, and then he goes on to say, he has been approved. For once he has been approved, that's the good part. You blessed is a man who perseveres, but then after that, that persevering through all of that, the trials or the temptations, then you're approved by God because you stand firm. He will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And that is the proof. If we love God, then we will persevere. You know, we are humans and everything, but God gives us the strength also to bear through those temptations. So the Lord actually keeps track of our temptations. And we read that the one who endures temptation will be approved. And that's good. See, that's the good side of it. That's how we win, and that's how we triumph over our trials. And that's the approval will lead to a reward, which is, James says, the crown of life. Jesus also says in the Gospels, those who endure to the end will be saved. So if our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, we know that we're saved. But and we will see that crown of life one of these days. Approval and that recognition can only be received after a person is judged and evaluated and receives positive commendations from his or her actions. Now, the Bible reveals that God keeps a record of how people act in life. And the Bible also says that we'll be judged on one of these days according to what we've done, whether it be good or what we've done bad. And that's in Corinthians. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 says, "So the book of remembrance," the book of remembrance, "was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." And then also in Revelations chapter 20, verse 12, we read, "And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." So there you have it. So there are records on that. But thank God. Thank God for his forgiveness. All of the sins we've committed and been forgiven won't be held against us. But we want to make sure we have a clean slate when we stand before the Lord. Amen? And we confess those every day of our life. And the Holy Spirit helps remind us of what when we slip up and when we sin. So God records every response to the temptation in the books of heaven, whether good or bad. All people will be held responsible or accountable for their actions in this life. Now, the way that we live our life will be evaluated by the Lord in that final day, in the last day of when He comes back, when the Lord comes back in the last days, the day of a judgment day. So we need to make sure that we're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen closely to Revelation 3:5, which says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." So, see, if your name's written in the book of life, and that will be open one of these days. And John says it won't be, you won't be blocked out, blotted out. "And I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels." And now this is what Jesus will be doing. Jesus will be the ultimate judge. And then in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, John says, "There shall by no means enter into heaven anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." So we also are told in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, that anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire or outer darkness. So the Lord, again, keeps a record of our sins, our temptations. Therefore, it's very important for us to make sure that our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. We're studying about Satan, Lucifer on Wednesday nights. And this series of messages kind of goes along with that of how he is out to devour or trick or keep people's names out of the Lamb's book of life. But you know, praise God. And each day we should be thanking the Lord. Lord, thanks for touching my life. Thanks for the Holy Spirit warning me about my sin. And the Lamb of God went to the cross and died for our sins, that our name would be written in the Lamb's book of life. And even though the records are kept and the scripture is very plain about that, God knows who. God draws every man to him. And when he draws man to him, or you or me to him, that's when we need to confess and realize that we need him in our lives. The second thing we need to look at is we are to blame for temptation, especially if we yield to it. See, God says that we are held accountable for our actions, and we are, the circumstances as well, which means that I alone determine my response to certain situations that come into my life. And Satan is going to try, he's going to make sure that he brings these things or allows them things to come into our lives. And James said, for example, that when temptation comes knocking on our door, that we are oftentimes the ones who are responsible. So now let's look at verses 13 and 14. Of James chapter 1. Verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God." Now, the clarification on that, God does not tempt anyone. God will test you. He tests our faith, but he does not tempt. The devil tempts you with temptation and all the lures and things he can throw at us. And then in verse 14, James says, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own ways or lust. Now, we need to comprehend, what we need to comprehend is that he's only the tempter. Satan is. He's only the tempter. He can't make us do anything. We choose to do that. He presents us with a choice or alternative decision in our spiritual journey. And the closer we walk with the Lord, the more we're in the Word, the more we study, the more we desire to be more like Christ, the harder he's going to work on us. And I like to take us back to when Jesus went into the wilderness. He had just been blessed by God the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. Jesus had been highly and lifted up because of his obedience. And obedience going into the waters of baptism, setting an example for each one of us, the cleansing of our sins by his shed blood when he went to the cross. And then, when he went out into the wilderness to be tested, well, he went out to spend time along with the Lord, but Satan happened to show up, as he does in any other situation or circumstances in our lives today, just like he did in the Garden of Eden. He showed up and tempted Eve and Adam, and they sinned. So let us not ascribe him that much power over our lives. Now, it is true that the devil is partially to the blame, but we need to accept some responsibilities ourselves. And why is that? We read in James chapter 14, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So, they're not Satan's desires or the Lord's desires, but it says our desires. Just like Eve, when she looked up at on the tree of good and knowledge, she saw it look good and was desirable to the eyes. It looked good. Oh, and I'm sure she was drooling and so forth. And Satan said, hey, you're hungry. It's good. Take it. It's yours. And they're not. And we look at, mankind is a weak creature, wandering minds, but it's our own desires. So mankind is weak. But see, we can overcome it. See, the battlefield is within our minds, according to Romans 12 and Corinthians chapter 10 and 1 Peter. It's in our mind. See, the devil will be, in essence, a whisperer in our ear. I mean, he says the good things. It makes it sound so good to us to bring the attention or bring to our mind the very things that we desire in our lives. Now, moving on to temptation that leads to sin in James 15. See, temptation, you think of it, is the seed of sin. That's what leads to sin. So, if a seed lands in dry soil, receiving little water and nourishment and left completely unattended, it will not grow. And so it is with the sin of seed. So if we will leave temptation by the wayside, just leave it there, it will no longer trouble us or we will be enticed by it. But like a seed that we plant and is watered or nursed, it will take root. And that's what we have to be careful. So then that's when we have to watch out. Satan has his foot in the door of our lives, and he will take over from that point. So if we nourish temptation, then it will grow, branch out through our lives, kind of like a kudzu vine. And you probably know of a kudzu vine. If it gets started, it grows, and the vines go everywhere. They take over buildings or trees and things like that. That's a Japanese or a Chinese vine known in the Eastern worlds and so forth. And it's here in the United States now as well. And kudzu, it just spreads and takes over. And that's what sin does in our lives as well. Sin will then flourish while we're left wandering and on the vine. James spoke about temptation again, and let's look at verse 15, which says, "Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." In conclusion this morning, you know, there's so much about these three or four verses that I could allude to this morning, but temptation is not the same thing as sin. Where temptation is a test, it's a test. Sin is defined as missing a mark or taking the wrong road. Not the road that the Lord wants us to be on, and one he strives for us to pursue. But it's the concrete wrongful doing, the violation of God's law. So temptation is a misguided thought which has a potential to become sin in our life. Now, what becomes wrong is when temptation is conceived and gives birth to sin. So remember, we can overcome temptation by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes Jesus reminded his disciples, and especially Peter, when Peter said, "Lord, no, you're not going to the cross," and in many other areas of their conversations. And one time, Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan has put that in your mind. He's trying to distract you. And he has, and he will distract each one of us. So all we got to do is just say, "Get behind me, Satan. Get lost. Get out of here." And he has. If our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you think about that. If we are a child of God, he has to obey. In Luke chapter 4, verse 13, is when Jesus was being tempted, the last temptation, he saw he wasn't getting anywhere with Jesus. He knew that, but he works hard on every one of us, trying to find out where our weaknesses are, which he knows. And then if we don't give in, if we persevere and are proved, as the scripture says, then he will leave. He'll come back at a more opportune time. He'll try to catch us when we're weak again or we're down and out. But see, that's when we can go to the Lord. "Lord, I need you. Especially right now in my life." We need him every day, don't we? We need him every day. We need him every moment of our life. So that's perseverance. That's keeping our eyes on Jesus, reading his word, meditating on it, memorizing his word, so it will sink deep into our hearts. So that moment comes, we can be like Jesus. We'll just say, "Okay, you can tempt me, but I'm not giving in because I belong to Jesus Christ." And he don't want to hear that. He doesn't want to hear that, and he will leave. So just remember, we have the victory. We've already won the victory, and that's the triumphs in our life when we overcome. We shall overcome. And praise God to those that don't know Jesus Christ yet. We have that opportunity to share with them where we found salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. God is so loving, so caring. He's good. He is good. And we need to remind ourselves of that every day of our life. How good He is, and how privileged and honored it is for us to have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the blessing. And that's that crown of life that we will receive one of these days. Our Father God, we praise Your holy name. And some of these scriptures that we read are kind of hard to grasp. It's hard to accept sometimes. But Lord, it's real. Satan is real. Temptation is real. But God, You were from the very beginning of time. And You made us in Your image. An image that we can be like You in our righteousness and holiness. We not realize that sin entered the world at the Garden of Eden. And it is spread through generations to this generation that we hear today are experiencing. And Lord, I pray that through the power of Your Holy Spirit who lives within our lives, Lord, that we will stand firm in our faith and stand strong in our belief that, Lord, when we call upon Your holy name, You come to aid us and help us to resist the temptations and resist Satan's desire to bring us down. But You'll never be able to do that because we belong to You. Whoever is listening today that doesn't know You personally, here in our sanctuary, those listening live, they can have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life this very day by confessing and repenting of their sins. And we've all been down that road. And we've all been touched by Your Spirit in some way. And Lord, Your invitation, all we have to do is respond to it and accept it. And accept Your forgiveness. And Lord, we have eternal life. Whatever the decisions are, they may be other decisions, a renewal of the salvation. Making things right with You. Maybe praying for someone else. Or just coming down and making things right with You here at this altar. Whatever that decision is today, Lord, make it clear. So we can discern, Lord, it's Your Spirit speaking. And we will know the difference. Because everything that You do and everything you bring in our lives is good. And we can recognize that. So with that, Lord, we praise You and we thank You in Your Son's name. Amen.